welcome to the first official episode of the On to the Next podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa, and I am so happy you're here today. Thank you. I am just going to get started. I'm already cringing again, but I'm getting a little bit more comfortable, so that's always good. But we're here today. I did film a little like intro app right before this one, so I would say listen to that first just to kind of know who I am, what I'm doing here. What the move is, okay? Today we're gonna talk all things like Instagram etiquette, especially when you're dating, okay? Or like in the dating world process of life. A little backstory on me that's gonna make me cringe already is in college I was in a very long-term relationship. This was like almost 3 years, okay? It's a long fucking time, especially when you're like a child, meaning 19 years old. So basically from the age of like 19 to 22, I was in this relationship, and it just brings me so much awe-ness, if that's a fucking word. I don't think it is, but I'm in awe that like for a minute, baby 19-year-old little Liz literally thought like, oh my god, is he the one? And it's like, I just got chills of cringe, because like people who find their high school sweetheart do your fucking thing, hope it's happy and healthy, but like for me, like I really had a moment where I was like, oh my god, is he the one? And it's like, baby girl, no, like thank god no, you're 19. Hello, like where's the disconnect? Like my first real relationship, I think that's fucking it. Like, oh my god, like how limiting. But when you're in a bubble and when you're in La La Land, like you fucking think that's it. So I'm like shook that I'm sick at myself that I really thought that for a minute. And nothing against the guy, it's simply just like the fact that my mind and my light, my world was so tiny in that college bubble that I was in. I went to a small private university, like where everyone knew everyone. It was like very close-knit community, which I love, but like it also can give you those limits that you just don't realize. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it's important to understand that now I'm out of that relationship for a year, so I've just been fucking dilly-dallying. We are out here, okay? I will talk more in the future about that relationship just because I think I learned so fucking much that I just think it needs to be talked about. But what I do need to say is that basically when I got out of that relationship, it was like a mutual breakup. We both were fucking over it. We just needed to give it some time to regroup and really be over it, you know, make it official. It was a few months after college graduation, so like it was like good timing. When I got out of that relationship, I probably cried about it like twice, which sounds kind of rude, like it was 3 fucking years of my life, and I was like, am I good? Like, why am I not really hung up on this? And it was because I didn't realize I was over it months prior to the breakup. And I'm saying this because I'm sure he was too, or at least I hope, I don't know, whatever, but like I think we both fucking knew at one point, like, this is not it. We were not happy together, and that's fine. Like, on to the next. Day two post breakup, I woke up and was like, ugh! Grasping for air, I didn't know I fucking needed, because I felt so trapped in that relationship. And it's just like insane, because I talked to a lot of my friends and they all were like, oh my god, I was over my ex months before we broke up. And I'm like, why does no one talk about this? I was thinking I was the fucking problem. Like, am I the problem? Am I the only one like over this? Like, am I wrong for being over this in March when we broke up in like August? Like, was that wrong? And it's just like, no, like, that's just, I don't know, all my female friends have experienced that before, and I'm like, it's like a female way of, like, getting, like, you mentally break up with a boy before you break up with them type of thing. I don't know, I would love to hear thoughts on this. Like, is this, like, a common thing? Like, do you know what I'm talking about? Me waiting for a response. Like, I'm generally curious about that, you know, because it's very interesting, like, how that whole process goes. On top of that, I think because I was over it already, like by the time we were out of it, it made the healing process a lot easier in terms of like, I didn't have my like 2 week, like, oh, everything reminds me of him. Like, I was so like, okay, let's go on to the next. Like, we don't have time to waste. Like, let's fucking get it, you know? So the biggest thing I'm learning is how fucking clutch Instagram is. Instagram is literally probably like the best dating app out there, and it's not even talked about as a dating app. I have not had to be on any dating apps because Instagram has done it for me. And I also think this is a cool thing, maybe little tips and tricks on how to kind of finesse your way in. Okay. I have my laptop here because I will be reading a DM. Everyone's like, oh my God, the guys are quaking right now. What DM? No, because I just need to go through this. So basically, Instagram etiquette when dating. First of all, the best fucking thing Instagram has is the little like heart-like feature on the bottom left-hand corner of someone's like Instagram story. That shit has done wonders, okay, for me and for the boys who also like hit me up, like both of us, like we got it, okay? The Instagram like feature is iconic. It's like a little playful little cat and mouse game of little chase without it being obvious. That makes sense. So for example, if I peep a boy follows me on Instagram, dope. That's already the first part of the process. He followed me first, cool. Oh, you follow him first. Either way, I've done both are fun. Okay, you do a little follow, and then he posts a story. And then you just do a little like to show that you're interested. And then he'll do a little like back to show that he's interested. And then you can, however long you want to do it, a little like here and there, whatevs. The point is, it shows an interest without being obnoxiously like in your face. So it's almost more fun because it's like, oh my God, like, wait, he liked this picture? Like, does that mean like he like, he's like, what? You know, it's like fun. And is it a little bit of a mind game? Yeah, but like, that's what we're here for. No. It's fun. Okay. I've had a boy who for months was like liking all my stories. And it wasn't like obnoxious or cringy. It was like a cute, like he did it, he timed it out well. I was proud of him. Okay. He did it smart. And what I loved about it is that I, after a few weeks, was like, okay, honey, like let's fucking get it. Like hello, like DM me. You're fucking liking all my little posts. I went and then liked what he had no like Instagram stories. So I think I liked one of his like Instagram posts, and it was from like boys posts like once a year, so like it was like a long ass time ago, and I liked it to show like I'm here, I'm, you know, I'm peeping you too, and basically I liked it. Then he like liked it. I don't remember the exact like time frame of things. What was iconic was I actually DM'd him first, and it was because he was good at this game. I respected the hustle that he was doing in terms of making himself aware. But I think he's more like a shyer kid. Sorry, he's a man. Fucking grown ass man. But I refer to men as kids or boys. Just what I do. Sorry, not sorry. Just want you to know I'm speaking about men over the age of 22. Okay, not an actual kid. That's important to clarify. He's a shyer guy, and so I was like, I bet money he's just probably like a little nervous, like he doesn't know what to say first. Totally fine. I'm a talker. I fucking got it. So I actually one day he liked like three stories in a row. I was feeling a little frisky, and so then I literally DM'd him and was like, hey, so were you ever gonna DM me? You're just gonna like all my posts. And he right away took that shit and ran with it. He knew exactly then what to do and how to like keep the combo going. He asked for my number. We went on a couple of dates. Like that is iconic. That is fun. That is playful. That's a great little tactic, I think. I say do it. I also say girls, do it. Like fucking be the first one to like a story. Like who cares? Like make the first move. It's fun. One thing I've noticed about making the first move is you tend to pick more quality guys when you're seeking them. Does that make sense? Like if I'm just like chilling and they come to me, it's like whatever, who knows the type of guy that they are. If you're like peeping someone and making the first move like first, duh. That I think just shows, at least for me, like those men that I'm putting the first move on, they're usually more quality. Like I have more respect for them. Okay. That's just food for thought. Let me know your thoughts. But I love that feature. I also like to do a little announcement. If you are DMing a girl first, don't be fucking horny right off the bat. Like, we know what you want. Okay? Let's be fucking real. We know and do your thing. Love that for you. However, do not DM perverted ass shit as the first way to DM the girl. Like, I get the most obscene DMs of, like, the first time. I'm like, dude, like, it's just, it's, like, too much. It's cringy. Like, at least pretend to be, like, have one conversation. Feel the waters out before you're just sending this, like, horny-ass shit, okay? Granted, some girls will probably love that shit, and I love that for them. But, like, I just don't think that's sustainable in the long run. Maybe it's just me, but what I do notice is that I will have boys, I literally guys I, like, went to school with. I'm like, we were in class together. You're just DMing me this, like, horny-ass shit. At least pretend to have something outside of the horniness of this DM. Like, anything. Literally anything. And read the room, and then do whatever you want. I don't know. Just me. That's what I'm realizing. It's, like, maybe it's, like, too much. Like, I've had to block boys. They just say, like, horny shit. I'm like, I'm not reciprocating, so it's cringy. And a lot of them are, like, older. I'm like, regroup, honeybee. Regroup, okay? Now, we're going to read a little DM combo that I had between a boy who's over the age of 22. So, this happened. This kid I didn't know of. Like, he was, like, someone who I knew of growing up. Like, his name. So, he wasn't a complete stranger. So, like, he does have me on Snapchat from, like, high school days. And whatever, he'll send me snaps once in a while. I don't usually respond to him ever. That's just context you'll need. He DMs and slides up on one of my little stories of me, like a picture of me. And he just slides up the hard eyes. And I respond, thanks, exclamation point. That already is ready, like, you're done. Like, I don't know, like, this is what I pick up on. If someone responds, thanks, exclamation point, like, you're not interested. Like, I respond, thanks, exclamation point, to, like, my coworkers, like, for bringing me coffee in the morning. Like, that is, like, not, like, I'm clearly not interested, okay? And if I was interested by a boy who DM'd me first, I would be like, thanks, hee hee. Sorry, I'm a hee hee girl. I text in hee hees. I have friends who think it's the cringiest fucking thing. I love it. I've been told by many different guys that it's, like, cute and playful, so I'm fucking here for it. But I would be like, thanks, hee hee, or like, oh, thanks, like, wait, thank you, or like, I don't know, like, just something more flirty than just thanks. Okay, that's just me. That's my little etiquette of the day in terms of, like, texting. Like, I don't think that's, like, she loves me, you know. And then he responds and goes, wow, she responds. And then I, being a little jokester, a sarcastic human that I am, said, LOLOL. I know, it's fucking cringy. Leave me alone. That's how I text, okay? I said, LOLOL. I guess I was just feeling a little generous. And I also put the crying of laughter emoji. So that's a fucking joke. I'm joking. If I understand that could sound rude. However, if you know me as a human, I'm going to joke. I'm going to make fun. I'm going to make little comments. I'm going to be sarcastic. I'm going to make you question, was she serious? Was she sarcastic? That's just how I speak. So if you really can't handle that, we have no hope. Like, okay. So my response, I think it was funny. He was not a fan. He goes, LOL, I gave you a compliment. You should take it and not be rude. Talk to girls way prettier than you, but have a great day. Let's unpack that, okay? LOL, I gave you a compliment. You should take that and not be rude. That right there, honeybee, is the literal, like, that is toxic masculinity. He thinks because he gave me a compliment that I owe him something. Baby boy, your compliment was a heart eye reaction. That shit takes a tap. You didn't fucking write me the next love song. Like, what? Like, hello? Like, is there a disconnect? Am I confused? Are you confused? What's going on? He said, I gave you a compliment. You should take it and not be rude. Fuck off. I don't have to take anything that you give me or don't give me. Like, I didn't ask for the compliment. And I said, LOL, I said thanks. Like, hello. I said thanks. Fuck off. That's annoying. I hate it. I hate when men think that they're entitled to something because they, like, did that. Like, no, you did nothing for me. You tapped your finger and gave me a little hard eye. Okay, let's regroup. You didn't do that much. You're fine. Then he goes, talk to girls way prettier than you, but have a great day. That also fucking triggers me. I hate when men think I'm gonna make someone else feel bad about themselves by making other girls sound better. Like, fuck off. I think every girl's fucking beautiful. I know there are prettier girls than me. That is never a thought I'm aware, and that's totally fine. That's what we're here for. Pop off, be prettier, like, be hotter, be whatever the fuck you want. The fact that he would thinks that's like a jab, like, ooh, I'm gonna get her where it hurts. Like, just, it's just cringy. Like, talk to way prettier girls than you. Like, okay, like, then go talk to other pretty girls. I don't know what you want me to tell you. Like, that to me, I laughed when I read that. I'm like, you're such an ick. Like, that just shows, like, he's so, like, it's 2023, baby boy, wake up. Like, this is not how girls or how I want to be referring. I don't want other girls to compare themselves to me. I don't want to compare myself to other girls. And I hate this since the beginning of time. Me, feminist rant. Sorry, not sorry. Since the beginning of fucking time, women have been made to be put up against each other. Am I wrong? No. Think about it. Fucking 1500s, okay? Women were made to be wives, housewives, and mothers, okay? Caregivers. They were made, you have to look prettier for his validation. Some fucking creepy ass old man validation, okay? No. Women have been made. Okay, you're here for the male gaze. So, what do you do for the male gaze? You look prettier, you make sure you're the prettiest girl in the room, you put other girls down in the process to make sure you look the best. That is not okay. That is literally not okay. And I hate that there are still, I mean, obviously, there's so many men and humans doing this still, and it's disgusting. But I hate, like, we're not here to fucking compete, we're here to uplift each other. How are we gonna ever get better as a community of like women if we're not fucking uplifting and encouraging each other? How dare you? Like, I will never understand that. Like I said, that's what we were made to do. We were made to hate other women. We were literally, society put this pressure of like, you have to be the hottest girl no matter what you do, be the hottest. I don't care who you hurt in the process, who you put down in the process, who you shame in the process. And that is so not okay, and that is not what we do here, and that is not what I'm here for. So I will never, even if I actually liked him, I was like, oh, let's get a vibe for him. Never. If I thought he was the hottest human alive, I would never go further with him because he tried to talk up about he tried to make he tried to put me in competition with other girls. Not okay. I'm no competition with any girl, and if that's something that he's doing with himself in his own little mind, do your thing. Keep me out of it. Okay. Sorry about that. I had to just make that very clear. I responded and said, LMAO, my response was pure sarcasm, but have a good one. Because, like, fuck off. And then the best part about this is, like, 2 days later at, like, 6 p.m., so he was fucking pondering. Baby boy was pondering. 6 p.m., he goes, just wanted to apologize. What I said was rude as fuck, and I was drunk, so I'm sorry. Let's unpack this. Okay, you were rude. Who cares? You apologize. Cool. You acknowledge that that was inappropriate. Cool. I'll give you that little gold star. However, the biggest issue is he said I was drunk. So that was his excuse. Like, I'm drunk. Sorry. Sweetheart, no. I don't care what you were. No. It's, no. So that just shows me now that's how you act when you're drunk. And that was nothing compared to probably worse things you've thought or he's thought or he has said. And so, okay, so if a girl through Instagram offended you because she essentially rejected him, that's what this is. He's just mad that I wasn't up his ass. Like, okay, I poked at his masculinity by not being up his ass and loving his little fucking hard eye slide up reaction. And so he reacted to it how most men, unfortunately, do is they get. Their ego gets bruised, and then they want to get aggressive and rawr. I'm still masculine, rawr. Okay, and then he later goes, "Sorry, I was drunk. Like, I didn't mean it." Okay, so that's how you act when you're drunk. Bye. That's not what we're here for, sweetheart. I'm not here for toxic ass masculinity, and then it's even more amplified when you're drunk. That's not cute. That's a red flag. So, like, if this was someone again that I was interested in, and this was how. He responds and reacts drunk. We're done. Like, that's it. And I'm only bringing this up because this just showed me a clear-cut example of like when you are DMing or texting boys and you're still in the beginning phases of knowing them if they have these little slip-ups, it's probably going to get worse. And like, I hate to break it to you, I hate to be that one to call them out before it gets really deep, but like, it's probably going to get worse. This is our first conversation together. Imagine if we were dating. Imagine if I fucking triggered him one happy Sunday morning and he was triggered. Imagine how he would act. You know, this shit just doesn't get better. Let's do some other forms of self-love before we go down that path, okay? That's what I would encourage, at least. So this is important because it just needs to be called out. We can't keep doing this. Like, women, like, we are, like, again, feminist man. Women, we are the foundation. Like, we are the future. We are the future caregivers, mothers, teachers, lawyers, doctors, all these things. We have to be able to recognize the toxic masculinity and shut it the fuck down. Okay. That's what I'm here for. Okay. This is going to be so fun and interesting and probably controversial. But here's the deal. If you are listening to this and you are offended by this, I would recommend to look in the mirror and regroup. Not even in a bitchy way, like, regroup. No, look in the mirror and think, why does this offend me? Why does this bother me? And it's probably because you never maybe heard this before. You never thought this before. Because whatever. Like, you might just think, like, oh, shit, I never thought of that before. And that's fine. But then, okay, what do you do now that you do think about it? You try to make conscious efforts to do better. And doing better might be different to everyone, and that's fine. But, like, just food for thought. Let it sit back, sizzle in the back of your brain, and one day maybe you'll process. I think if this offends you, that says something about you and your experiences in life, and that is okay. Not everyone was made to be, like, so clear-cut, whatever. But we're all growing and evolving, and we all learn different things from different people in different environments. So, like, let's regroup, okay? Okay. And I mean that with so much love and respect. I really do. I just think I do know a lot of men nowadays who are, like, really trying to be more, for the lack of better words, woke. I hate using that word, but it makes sense. And those men are kings. I love that for them. Like, thank you. Like, thank you for asking and, like, processing and wanting to learn and wanting to do better. That's all we can ask for, you know? And when I do talk about toxic men, toxic masculinity, I'm not talking about all men. I know good men. I can name, like, three of them. Okay. Okay. Sorry, I had to make a little jab. I'm done. Can I name all the good men that I know on one hand? Maybe. However, thankful for those men because they give me hope. Okay? Okay. I'm done. Let's move on to the next little topic. When you are at a bar and a man asks you for your Snapchat, fucking get out. He's probably underage. He probably came with a fake ID. Like, we're done. If you are not in school, and if you are over the age of, like, 21, 22, men and women, whoever asks for the contact, form of contact first, do not ask for their fucking Snapchat. That is the cringiest shit ever. Cringy. Do I have Snapchat? Yes. Am I on Snapchat? Yes. Do I send snaps to friends? Do I post? Do I Snapchat boys sometimes? Yes. However, these are boys and friends and humans that I've known for a long time, that I've known since high school, that I've known since college. So, like, that's just how we communicate. If I'm at a bar on a Friday night in Lincoln Park and a fucking hot-ass little finance bro comes up to me and asks me for my Snapchat, I'm going to laugh in his face. I'm sorry. I'm going to be like, are you good? Like, how old are you? Are you 16? Like, hello? No, I'm not giving you my Snapchat. That's so cringy. Like, I'm 23. Like, I feel like this is the age where you ask for a phone number. And then you get a Snapchat a few weeks down the line or something. I don't know. I had a 27-year-old man ask me for my Snapchat. I'm like, what are you hiding? Do you have a wife and kids at home? Like, do you have a fake Snapchat account that you're, like, hiding? Like, why can't you ask for my number? Or are you emotionally immature? Probably. They always are, unfortunately. But, like, hello? Hello? No, that's not happening. We're done. That's fucking cringy. Okay? And just think about that. That's just something I've noticed. It gives me the fucking ick, and it gives many other people that I know the ick. So let's not do that. Okay? Thank you. Now, on a better note, I do want to talk about some little things that I think can help humans post breakup, okay? And these little things can just be little things, little forms of love every single day. The biggest thing I learned getting out of my relationship was that I was in a codependent relationship, okay? We were up each other's asses and we thought that was normal. We thought that was cool. Will I ever be one of those again? No. Because that was not, it was unhealthy. I know, like, I was in his world, he was in my world. It was cute during COVID quarantine when there was no one else, no other world to be in. But I'm like, no, we're not doing that ever again. We, meaning me, like me and my like outer self, we communicate, my future self. We're not doing that shit again. Okay. The thing about codependent relationships is you think that's it. Okay. And granted, I was 19 to 22. We were in college. At college, everyone knew everyone. It was a small community. So I felt like I had to maintain the social pressures of like staying together. I had to put on this facade because I just wanted to be like, no, we're good. I didn't want to be like drama or talked about or whatever. And thinking about it now, I'm like, baby girl, you should have been out of that shit and experienced more of your college experience. Like you had fun for the first year and a half, and then COVID hit, and then you got in the relationship, and then the rest of your college years were in his world. And we're not here to be in anyone's world but our own. Like, no. And again, I'm not mad at myself. I did it. Thank God I did it at such a young age where it didn't really affect, like, it's not gonna ruin my life. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've learned so much from it. I'm so thankful for that. And there's no beef with the guy, like, wish you the best, honeybee, but we're on to the next, okay? Oh my God, I just got chills. I just made that shit up on the spot. Okay, like that is something I think that needs to be talked about is like getting out of a codependent relationship. There are things you have to do. The first thing I did was I, after that day, I was like, my phone will be on Do Not Disturb for the rest of my fucking life. I put my calls off Do Not Disturb because, like, if anyone calls me, it's fucking important. And I put my main peeps and my family off the Do Not Disturb option. Anyone else who wants to contact me, you will be on Do Not Disturb. And the reason for that is because I needed to be able to be happy on my own without checking my phone for a text, without going to bed. I needed to be able to go to sleep peacefully without needing to look at my phone, without needing a good night text. You know what I mean? And that sounds ridiculous. And like thinking of that, like me now, like a year later, I'm like, I can't believe I was ever in that headspace. Like, that's so icky. Like, Alyssa, we would never. But no, I was in that headspace. I did have such a dependent relationship where I had to talk to him every day. Like, I mean, granted, there were more other toxic things happening behind the scenes that like we might get into one day, but like there were a lot of pressure that I felt like I had to do that. And I might have put that same pressure, I probably put that same pressure on him. And if, you know, and that's shitty and that's gross and it's icky. And I did it because that's all I knew. I was mirroring what I was giving and what I was getting, you know? So I think Do Not Disturb is iconic. Ever since then, it's been a year. My phone is still on Do Not Disturb. If I take you off that shit, you are fucking special. I love you. Like, you are my shit, okay? I look forward to talking to you. But I'm also not unhealthily attached to you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so content because I know we're cool. You can be off Do Not Disturb because I know when we talk and it's fun. And I'm not talking about guys, I'm talking about like friends and family and stuff. I think that that can really help you though. Overall, just find your own shit. I post breakup, I was like, let's fucking get it. This is my internal evolution. Like, let's fucking get it. What do you want to do? What is everything that you felt like you couldn't do because you were being held back in that relationship? And I fucking did that shit and I ran with it. That is probably why I'm here today. Because a year ago, I felt lost. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what to do. I was in such a bubble. I was so content with my life. And content, I'm using in a negative word, in a negative way right now because like I don't want to be content. I want to have a fire up my ass. I want to be excited. I want to be thrilled. You know what I mean? Maybe in the future I'll be content, but for now I want to be inspired. Like I have to. Like, I'm 23 years old. I have so much more going on for me. I cannot live in that content la la land bubble. I'm so thankful that I know that now. And for anyone listening, like, please, whether you are in a relationship or if you're not, the best thing I've done for myself is literally, and this is so glamorized and so fucking all over the media, and I'm thankful for it because it did teach me, is go on a date with yourself. It sounds so cliche. It's all over the TikTok girlies, going on dating yourself, teehee. It's a real fucking thing that every human needs to do, because actually it's iconic. You learn so much about yourself. You feel uncomfortable the first time. It's like, why are you uncomfortable? Because you're not used to being alone, and that's okay. But let's be alone. Let's sit in our silence. What do we think about when we're sitting in our silence? If it's bad thoughts, what can we do to work on that? Let's reflect. The best thing we can do for ourselves is be so whole on our own that whenever that person does come, because they will come, your partner, your future soulmate, whatever you believe in, they will come when you are ready, but they will also come when they're ready. That's what I believe in. That's how I believe in fate and meant to be and the universe and the butterfly effect and all those beautiful things. Like, it's going to come to you when you and that other human are ready for it. Because if it comes to you before you're ready, it might blow up in your face. But guess what? I believe that there is someone out there for everyone. So if it blows up in your face, there is a chance it'll come back when you're ready. And that's beautiful. It's so exciting. But let's not sit and wait for that. Live your life and it'll come to you. Okay. That's how I sleep at night. I fucking love that idea. I think that is the most beautiful form of love and self-love, is just knowing that it's going to be yours when it's meant to be yours. Nothing is more powerful than that. And I'm going to end on that. I think that's a very exciting, good note. I really believe that we are all here for a reason, and that everything happens for a reason, and that everything is meant to be yours when it will be yours. And I hope that brings a little bit of hope. I know that's how I sleep at night, because that to me is a true form of just hope and trust in whatever you believe in. And I think that is a good way to look at life. So that was a lot. Okay. Thank you for listening. I really like so much. I appreciate this. I'm so excited for this. This is my first episode. It was a lot. I'm cringing. I said stuff didn't think I was going to ever say out loud, and I did, and I'm here for it. I want nothing more than for all of you to just sleep at night knowing it will be okay. Like, it's so cheesy, but like, I just sometimes need to hear that, and you might need to hear it too, okay? So at the end of the day, we're here, we're out here, we're living on to the next lifestyle. It'll be okay. The next thing is coming, and we're going to just keep moving on to the next, okay? So thank you for listening to the first episode. We will be airing new apps every single week on a Tuesday. I'm very excited for this journey with all of you. And I also would love to say to please, please like and subscribe and comment and rate and review. Send me questions, send me thoughts, send me in. Like, I want feedback. Overall, follow me on Instagram. My personal page is Alyssa with 2As.de, and my podcast is onto the next.podcast on Instagram. And then I'm also on YouTube and TikTok. Just look up my name and I should be there. Thank you so much for listening. Lots of love. Take care of yourself, and we will see you when we are on to the next episode next Tuesday. Thanks for listening. Bye.